ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, Text 37. Naiva vidanchayamanam jalam gada jale charaha yathayur anvaham chayam naramutha kutumbinaha. Na, not. Eva, indeed. Avidan, appreciated. Chiyamanam, diminishing. Jalam, the water. Ghadajale, in shallow water. Charaha, those who move. Yatha, as. Ayu, their lifespan. Anu aham, every day. Kshayam, diminishing. Naraha, men. Mudaha, foolish. Kutumbinaha, living with family members. Translation and purport by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. The fish swimming in the increasingly shallow water did not at all understand that the water was diminishing, just as foolish family men cannot see how the time they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day. We can repeat the translation. The fish swimming in the increasingly shallow water did not at all understand that the water was diminishing. Just as a foolish family man cannot see how the time they have left to live is diminishing with every passing day. Purport. After the rainy season, the water gradually goes down. But stupid fish do not understand this. Thus they are often stranded on the lake shores and river banks. Similarly, those infatuated with family life do not understand that the remainder of their life is constantly decreasing. Thus they fail to perfect their Krishna consciousness and are stranded in the cycle of birth and death. This translation was printed in 1985 or 84. 1980, I'm sorry. In 1980. And Srila Prabhupada's book, which we've been hearing about almost every day during this chapter, it wasn't printed. Actually, the devotees didn't even know about it. It wasn't officially printed until 1984. So there's a four-year gap. So the translators, Sri Dayananda Goswami, Gopi Puranadana, and the others who were assisting in the Sanskrit department, they did their best according to the commentaries of the acharyas to present the Srimad Bhagavatam translation. But then, because Srila Prabhupada had made this especially for Japan, the Asian countries, for a big religious conference that was going to happen in Japan, He did it according to the Asian consciousness. And then when Tomal Krishna Rose was assigned by Prabhupada in 1976 to preach in China, he found this manuscript, and he had a very famous Chinese artist make all of the paintings. And it took a few years. So none of us knew about this book until 1984, when it was printed in a very beautiful artistic form. Actually, we didn't even have access to it because it was first printed in Chinese. And then finally it was printed in English. So the way Srila Prabhupada translated this sloka is so poetic and so striking that I want to read it. It's verse 35. It's two verses behind if you want to follow along with it. Prabhupada says, when the small pools of water become too hot because of the scorching heat of the autumn sun, the poor small creatures with their many family members suffer terribly, as poor householders with too many family members suffer economic strains and yet go on begetting children because of uncontrolled senses. Prabhupada's purport now. Human life is meant for controlling the senses, for uncontrolled senses are the cause of material bondage. But for fools, sense enjoyment is the pivot of life's activities. All men undergo hard, laborious duties all day and night, and in all seasons of the year, only for the sake of sense pleasure with their mates. These foolish creatures have no information of other enjoyment. In a godless civilization especially, sense pleasure, accepted in the name of culture and philosophy, is all in all. Men who are addicted to this pleasure are called kripanas. When the kripanas have too many children, they suffer the scorching heat of family life. And then similar leaders advise them to undertake family planning. The idea of this family planning is that sense pleasure should not be curtailed, but birth control should be accomplished by artificial measures. Such methods of birth control are called runahatya, or killing the child in embryo. That's what we now call abortion. Such killing is a sinful act. And in the revealed scriptures, a specific hell is designated for those who commit such sins. So Srila Prabhupada's target on this chapter, just as with the disciples, is the uncontrolled sense gratification enjoyed in family life. And how the materialists are bound up and suffering day and night, working hard and not understanding that with this passing of every day, their life is being shortened and they're not solving the problems of their life, which means death and what's going to happen after death. So today we know is the wonderful festival of Panihati Chirdaihi Mahotsava. And it's very appropriate. So much analogy is there between the life of Raghunath Das Goswami and this verse that we're contemplating today. Raghunath Das Goswami was the first of all the six Goswamis to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was just about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's age. He was born in a Vaishnav family. It was a Kayasta family. They were so wealthy that Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that virtually they were maintaining the entire Gaudiya Brahmin community in Nadia district. They had a palatial home on the riverside. They had boats plying up and down the river, and they saw to it that the Brahmins were very well maintained. That's how charitable they were. Now, their family guru was Yadunandanacharya, who was the disciple of Advaitacharya. But he also took siksha from Vasudev Datta, who was not a Brahmin. And the followers, some of the atheistic followers of Advaitacharya, they looked down upon Yadunandanacharya because he was taking siksha from a non-Brahmin. This is the smarta Brahmins. Now, along with the family guru, there was a family priest, and his name was Balaramacharya. And he was a very close friend of Yadunandanacharya, but he was most influenced and most attracted and associated with Haridas Thakur. So in this early times, Haridas Thakur used to travel, and whenever he was near the home of the Majumdars, that was Raghunath Das Goswami's family, Balaram Acharya would invite Haridas Thakur to speak at the Majumdar's house. And Raghunath Das, he got to hear Haridas Thakur at that time. So from a very early age, he became very attracted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to the teachings of Haridas Thakur. Finally, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to take sannyas at the age of 24, before going to Jagannath Puri, he stopped in Shantipur. And at that time, Raghunath Das Goswami, he was just Raghunath Das at that time, he asked permission to go see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from his father. He went there with all of his men. And for 1 week, he was at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, praying always that he could be relieved from his family and just follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood everything. Then Raghunath Das went home, and a second time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Shantipur. And this was when he was on his way to Vrindavan. We know that that was stopped. He didn't make it to Vrindavan on that trip. But again, Raghunath Das went to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and for 7 days this time, he stayed at his lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him, put his feet on his head, and he was just praying without saying anything to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How can I come and follow you? I want to live with you in Puri. I want to give up this family life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could understand everything about his mentality, and he gave him very important instructions that time, what not to do and what he should do to become free. First he said, don't act like a crazy fellow, batula. Vata, that, you know, when there's a derangement of vata, you become crazy. So batula in Bengali. Don't be a batula. Don't be a crazy fellow. You go home. And don't be a markata vairagi. So markata means monkey. There's markata vairagya, there's smasham vairagya, there's falgu vairagya, and ultimately there's, what's the word? Yukta vairagya that Rupa Goswami teaches. So these three, markata vairagya, falgu vairagya, and smasam vairagya, that's for the people, shobaro. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, don't be markata vairagya, vairagi. That means like the monkeys here we see in Vrindavan. They're very austere. They don't have any house. They don't have any clothes. They eat whatever they get. But on the side, they'll have a dozen women who they're engaging in enjoyment with. So that's what's called markata vairagya, shobaro. Here in Vrindavan, before it became a big city, there used to be these quack doctors who would sit on the parikrama marg. They'd set up a little desk. They would have a big bottle of red liquid on their desk and one injection, one syringe. And anyone who came during the parikrama, they would sit down, I've got this, I've got that. Same thing. He'd give them the red liquid, which was just a show bottle, whatever. Nobody ever knew what was in that red liquid, and inject him. And that show bottle. He wasn't a doctor. He was a quack. So this is show bottle. And then you've got the Falgu Vairagyas. Prabhupada compares them to the Mayavadis, because we know the Falgu River in Bihar, on the top it's sand, but underneath there's water and there's actually a current. So Prabhupada explains that the Mayavadis, they appear to be very renounced, but underneath they have a strong current of sense desire because they don't know how to apply their senses in Krishna's service. And then the Smasan Vairagyas. Anyone who's gone to the Jamuna to burn the body at the time of death, at that time we're thinking, well, this is what's going to happen to me. Why am I working so hard? I've got so many plans. I'm going to get married next month. You know, I've got so many kids. This is where I'm going to end up. So this is the Vairagya of someone at the cremation ghat. They realize how useless all their endeavor is in this lifetime. But as soon as they come back home, they forget it all. So Mahaprabhu recommended, don't be Vairagya like this. What did he tell Raghunath Das to do? He said, you go home and you remain nishta inside, very strong in your renunciation. And outside, just like a businessman, you do your duties. So everyone thinks that you're doing your duties very properly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu assured him at that time that Krishna will play a trick, a chal. He will reveal that, spurti. He'll give you spurti, how to get out of this family life at the right time. You just wait and see. So Mahaprabhu told him then, I'm going to Vrindavan. When I come back, at that time, Krishna will show you that trick and you'll be able to join me there. He didn't say what the trick was going to be. So Raghunath Das went home. He did exactly what Mahaprabhu told him to do for 1 year. Within that 1 year, because his father and his uncle, they were kayastas, very powerful, very wealthy. Raghunath Das lived just like he had the wealth of Indra, and his wife was as beautiful as an apsara. Even that couldn't bind him. He wasn't interested. So because the father and the uncle were so powerful, they took the post of one Turkish Muslim Chowdhury, who was the tax collector. And they're supposed to be collecting 20 lakh coins. And they're supposed to keep only 12 lakh coins. But the older brother, Hiranya Majumdar, he was keeping 15 lakh coins. And the Turkish Chowdhury, he knew it because it was his job before. He had been kicked out. So he sent a secret message to the minister that this is going on, you should arrest this man. So Hiranya and Govardhan, they escaped, and when they came to arrest them, only Raghunath Das was there. They put him in jail. And the Chowdhury, he kept coming to threaten him. He was threatening him he wanted to physically beat him, but every time he saw Raghunath Das, he became scared because the Kayasta community was so powerful in Bengal. He knew that if he did anything, that he would get in trouble. So finally, Raghunath Das figured out some plan. Krishna inspired him. And one day when the Chowdhury came, he said, my uncle and father and you, you're just like brothers. Brothers always fight. They'll always fight about something, and sometimes they're peaceful and sometimes they fight. That's just the way brothers are. And I'm just like your son. So you're my maintainer. Please protect me. So the Chowdhury started to cry. The tears were going down his beard. He said, yes, from today I take you as my son. I release you. But you call your uncle. I want to talk to him. So they made an agreement. You know, they gave the Chowdhury some of the money and everything was all right. So then the father of Raghunath Das and his uncle were very pleased with him, that he's acting exactly like a first-class businessman, everything, what Prabhupada calls it, shilling pence man. So he had convinced them that he was becoming normal. But this only lasted for 1 year. Then he couldn't take it anymore. He just couldn't hold himself there in the house anymore. And it became almost a daily activity that he would run away from home. His father would capture him, bring him back. His father assigned 11 men to look after him, 5 chokidars, 4 personal servants, and 2 Brahmin cooks. Imagine 11 men watching you at all times. So there was no way for him to escape then. But then he heard Nityananda Prabhu had come from Bengal. Nityananda Prabhu was staying in Panihati. In Panihati is the home of Raghava Pandit. Now, Raghava Pandit's cooking was so sublime that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu from Puri, transcendentally, he would come every day to eat at Raghava Pandit's house in Panihati. So Nityananda Prabhu, he didn't travel alone, because even Nityananda Prabhu, when he was Balaram, when he descended to this world, he brought all of his Gopagan with him. So wherever Nityananda Prabhu went, his entire entourage traveled with him. And they came to Panihati. And Raghunath Das heard about this. And he thought, even if I bring all of the men that my father's put around me, I'm going to go see Nityananda Prabhu. And he begged his father, let me go see him. Father gave permission. He said, otherwise, I won't be able to keep my soul and my body if I don't go see Nityananda Prabhu. So he went there to Panihati, nearby. All the men came with him to watch him, that he wouldn't escape. So when he saw Nityananda Prabhu sitting under a tree on the bank of the Ganga with all of his entourage surrounding him, and there's long description. Now, the description is in 2 places. I couldn't memorize all the who was who. The description is given who's there with Nityananda Prabhu, but then Prabhupada refers us back to Adi Leela, to the tree of love of Godhead, of which Nityananda Prabhu is the main. He's the main trunk. And then all of his followers are the different branches of Nityananda Prabhu. So in the Anti Leela, chapter 6, where the Chirdahi festival is described, then Prabhupada refers us back to Adi Leela so we know who is who amongst Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers. So supermost was Ramdas Abhiram Thakur. He was Sridham. Sundarananda, he was Sudham. Pipalai, he was Mahabala. Goridas Panda was Subal. Parameshwara was Arjun Gopa. Dhananjaya was Vasudama. Purushottam was Stoka Krishna. Kanu Thakur was Dama. Udarandatta Thakur, he was Subahu. And Kala Krishna Das was Lavanga. These were all of the intimate gopas that came with Nityananda Prabhu from Goloka Vrindavan when he appeared as Nityananda Prabhu. So they were all with Nityananda Prabhu on that day, along with many other Brahmins and scholars sitting on this stone platform. And when Raghunath Das Goswami came there, from a distance, he offered obeisances. And the servant of Nityananda Prabhu told him, there is Raghunath Das offering obeisances far away. So Nityananda Prabhu, he was very merciful and very funny. He said, oh, you thief, there you are. You come here, I'm going to punish you. Raghunath Das didn't go any closer. He was very humble. So forcibly, Nityananda Prabhu captured him and put his feet on Raghunath Das's head. And he said, today I'm punishing you. Now, we know what kind of weather it is today. It was the same kind of weather over there, probably more muggy and more... So on days like this, who wants to eat pakora and samosa and kachori and, you know. So when Nityananda Prabhu decided to punish Raghunath Das, he said, "Today I want you to feed all of my associates a big feast. I want you to feed them chira and dahi." Giriraj Swami, he gave the example that if Mukesh Ambani came to our temple and he asked the temple president, "What service can I do?" And the temple president says, "I want you to feed all of the devotees puffed rice, muri." It's like Raghunath Das Goswami was as wealthy as Indra. He could have done anything. And Nityananda Prabhu, as a joke, he said, "You feed them all chira and dahi," which is a very, you know, very common commodity in Bengal. So as soon as the punishment was given, Raghunath Das, he just went into bliss. He started sending his men everywhere to get the chira, get the dahi, get condensed milk, get the sweets and the bananas and whatever, all kinds of eatables, because this was his chance to serve all the Vaishnavas. And he got 200 to 400 big clay pots and then seven bigger clay pots. Because in those seven bigger clay pots, there's a special kind of... See, now we have everything industrialized. But in Bengal, even when Prabhupada started the Mayapur temple, our devotees, they had a denki, right? And I never learned how to use it. You had to really be Bengali to know how to do it, but there's a rhythm to it. But on one side you have the soaked rice, and there's an indentation, you put the rice in, and on the other side with your foot, it's like a seesaw, back and forth, until the rice is crushed into chira. And they would do that at the Mayapur temple with this denki, and that's how chira was made. But there's a very special quality of chira that's made from unboiled rice, aroya chira. So in those seven big pots, just for Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Raghunath Das made this special aroya chira and soaked it. Now the Brahmins soaked it. Srila Prabhupada, every morning without fail, he would have chira soaked in hot milk. Pishima taught me how to make it. He said, "Chira must be there." He had to have this chira every day. This is a very healthy morning prasadam. And Prabhupada himself would have this every day. We would make a big pot of chira. She would wash it just once. Then we would soak it in hot milk. It would all fluff up. And then all around this big pot, we would put fruit, sandesh, all kinds of sweets, and Prabhupada would have that. He would mix it on his plate. This is the way Prabhupada would start his day, with chira and hot milk. So this is common Bengali prasadam. So the pots were all there, and then the Brahmins soaked the chira, and then Raghunath Das, he divided into two different types. He made one type of chira, soaked it with dahi and bananas and sugar. And the other type was fancier. That was with kheer, condensed milk, and a special kind of banana called champakela, and ghee and camphor. And every single person, and we see like even today, any day, as soon as it's some type of communication system amongst the Vaishnavas. As soon as there's a hint that there's going to be a feast, somehow, you can't count the number of people lined up for that feast. Where they come from, nobody knows. How they found out, nobody knows. But they're all there for the feast. And that's exactly what happened that day. Nityananda Prabhu was sitting there with his associates, and all of a sudden, everybody heard there was going to be a feast, and they came from all directions. Not only the Brahmins and the scholars came, but the merchants from other villages heard about it. And they came because they knew that they were going to get to sell more chira and dahi. So Raghunath Das, he would buy all the chira and dahi from the merchants, he would make the preparation, and then feed it back to the merchants. So it was such a big feast, no one could count how many people came, and there was no more room anymore on the land. So then, everyone who had their two pots in their hands, they were standing on the bank of the Ganga. And then after a while, the whole bank of the Ganga got filled up. And then they had their two pots in their hands, and they went to stand in the Ganga, and they were eating in the Ganga. That's how many devotees came. So Nityananda Prabhu, he was so happy about this feast that after some time, he called Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Only very few intimate disciples could see Mahaprabhu arrive. And from each of the pots, he took a grain and pushed it into Mahaprabhu's mouth. And then Mahaprabhu took a grain and pushed it into Nityananda Prabhu's mouth. And they were going through, all the devotees, feeding each other. Everyone was in ecstasy. They couldn't figure out what Nityananda Prabhu was doing. But Nityananda Prabhu, he had personally brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to enjoy this feast. Meanwhile, Raghava Pandit came from Panihati. Because Raghava Pandit, you can read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the care that he took when he prepared prasadam for Mahaprabhu and for his deities. He would always make a plate for Mahaprabhu. So he had prepared prasadam for Nityananda Prabhu and his entourage that day. And he came and he said, Prabhu, I made prasadam for you at my home, please come. And Nityananda Prabhu said, well, I'm from the Gopajati, and I have all my Gopagan here with me. And we like to picnic on the riverside. So today we're having a big picnic, and everyone is here enjoying. So today I will take prasadam here with all of my gopas. And because according to all of the associates whose name we read, for them it was the Jamuna. And they were having a usual picnic, just like they would have at the Jamuna that we read about in the previous chapters in 10th canto. So Nityananda Prabhu told Raghava Pandit, this evening I'll come to your home. So that evening, after the feast was over, they all went to Raghava Pandit's house. And before the feast, Nityananda Prabhu, big kirtan, he was inducing everyone to dance in ecstasy. And then when he saw that everyone was dancing, he started to dance. And this is another place where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always appears. Wherever Sachimata cooks, wherever Raghava Pandit cooks, wherever Nityananda Prabhu dances, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes there. So Mahaprabhu again came. And Raghava Pandit could understand that Mahaprabhu had arrived. So he set up two plates for the two lords. They sat down next to each other and they started to take prasadam. They're taking prasadam, and then Raghava Pandit fed all of the associates. And then, when the feast was over, Raghava Pandit, he gave the remnants from the two plates of Gaur Nithai to Raghunath Das. That was his blessing from the lords for the big feast that he had arranged for everyone. And then Nityananda Prabhu, he asked all the devotees there to please bless Raghunath Das, that he can become free from household life and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, I can't remember if it was that evening or the next morning, Nityananda Prabhu, he gave a prediction, what was going to happen in the future. He said, very soon you will become free from your family life. And you will go to Jagannath Puri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will put you under the care of Swarup Damodar. And there you will live and learn how to serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So this was all foretold by Nityananda Prabhu, giving his blessings to Raghunath Das. So then Raghunath Das, very secretly, he went to Raghava Pandit. And he took 100 gold coins we can't even estimate. If we even have, who has a gold coin here? Does anyone have a gold coin? We don't even have one gold coin. He gave 100 gold coins to Raghava Pandit, and he gave like 50 tolas, that's 50 grams, the 500, half a kilo of gold to Raghava Pandit, and he told him five tolas, I can't remember the number. He gave this gold to Raghava Pandit. He said, "You give this to Nityananda Prabhu after I've left," because he didn't want to know that he was giving it. And then he gave another 100 gold coins and another 2 tolas to Raghava Pandit. He said, "You make a list of all the associates of Nityananda Prabhu and you decide who gets 20 coins, who gets 10 coins, who gets 5, 2, you know, like that, and who gets the gold." And Raghava Pandit made a whole list and they decided who was going to get what. So it wasn't that it was just the Lord that was getting the donation. All of the associates of Nityananda Prabhu were getting the donation from Raghava Pandit, through Raghava Pandit, from Raghunath Das. And then he left. And he went home, and from that day, after the Chirdayi festival, he never entered his house again. He just slept at the outside of the house of the Durga Mandap, and he waited. Because now he had gotten, not only had he gotten the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but now he got the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu. Prabhupada explains that this is how to attain spiritual perfection. If we want to associate with Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, which is the goal of life, we're all aiming for serving Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. We cannot approach Sri Sri Radha and Krishna without the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Radha and Krishna combined. One cannot get the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without getting the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. And that's what this Leela showed. That although Mahaprabhu gave his blessings, until Raghunath Das got the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu, nothing happened. But how does one get the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu? That's explained by Narottam Das Thakur in his Prarthana. One gets the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu by approaching Jaghai and Madhai. That's the sakshi, that's the witness. If we want the blessings of Nityananda Prabhu, we have to approach, just as Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur did. They roamed the streets of Nadia, asking everyone, "Bolo Krishna, Baja Krishna, Koro Krishna, Siksha." Those three things. Simple. Chant Hare Krishna, worship Krishna, and mold your life around the teachings of Krishna. So this is how, if we're interested in getting the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, this is what we need to do. We have to approach, and it's very easy for us to find Jaghai Madhais in this day and age. We're all Jaghai Madhais. That's where we all came from. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Madhai hit Nityananda Prabhu on the head with the clay pot, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to kill him, Nityananda Prabhu stopped him. He said, "Not in this age. If you're going to kill him, you have to kill everyone. Everyone is as sinful as him. They're all engaged in these sinful activities. Now we have to kill the sinful mentality." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he had a Sudarshan Chakra right there, Jaghai Madhai, they completely surrendered. They gave up all their sinful activities. Once they surrendered and gave up their sinful activities, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never once considered all of their past sins. So that's our condition. We're all on the level of Jaghai Madhai, let's admit it. What haven't any of us done? Most sinful activities. All of us are here because Nityananda Prabhu went and saved the most fallen, which is us. And Raghunath Das, when he approached to get the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu, he's, "I'm most fallen. I'm Jivadam, I'm Heen, I'm Deen, I'm Pamar, I'm there's, you know, there's so many, just like we have so many words for different things in English, in Bengali there's so many words for a fallen soul because they consider themselves as such. And he used all those words to compare himself, although he had just done this huge feast, just pleased all the Vaishnavas, everything. But he considered himself most fallen because he was still entrapped in family life. Mahaprabhu will say much more about this, and that's what this verse is about today, being trapped in the family life. Now, Srila Prabhupada, because he was also trapped in his family life, he once asked Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati about these two different aspects of spiritual life. There's bhog and there's tyag. And we see in the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, some of them were tyagis. They gave up their family life, Rupa and Sanatana, they gave up their family life, Raghunath Das Goswami gave up their family life. They were so austere. And then others, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he even ordered them to stay in their family life. You look at the two examples of Ramananda Roy, who was a governor, he lived a kingly life. He was one of the most intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the category of a bogey externally, although he was the most renounced and internally the most advanced. And then you have the tyagis, who we understand Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So Prabhupada asked how to understand the two different types of associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the answer of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was, of course, so perfect. He gave the example of Proshita Bhartrika. Proshita Bhartrika, Bhartrika means a husband. Now, when her husband is away, she dresses very plainly, she takes off all of her ornaments, she doesn't comb her hair, she sleeps on the floor, she hardly bathes, complete renunciation when her husband is absent. And then when her husband returns, she bathes twice a day, she oils her body, she looks very beautiful, she puts all of her ornaments back on, just for the pleasure of her husband. In both conditions, both in tyag and in bhog, everything is centered around the pleasure of her husband. So that's the way a devotee sees things. If this is going to please my husband, then I will become completely renounced. If this is going to please my husband, then I will accept any type of opulence in his service. So this is Proshita Bhartrika Bhav. That for pleasing the husband, for pleasing Krishna, we can accept either tyag or bhoga. It's not, and this is the Stana Stita. Now this Stana Stita, Stita Stana, you can look it up. This is spoken about, now that we're going through the 10th canto, in the 14th chapter. Brahmaji, he explains this. He uses these exact same words, Stana Stita, that any condition of life you're in, if you're a brahmachari, remain a brahmachari. If you're a grihastha, remain a grihastha. If you're a sannyasi, remain a sannyasi. Any condition of life you're in, you simply worship the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. You don't have to change your status of life. So that's Stana Stita. And that's how a devotee, no matter what ashram, no matter what varna he's in, he can serve the Supreme Lord. So now we have Raghunath Das. He's going back to his family home. He won't go in the house anymore. He stays outside. He's waiting for that mercy of Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it happened through his own guru. One night, 96 minutes before sunrise, that's our Brahma Muhurta time, Of course, for the devotees, that's when they wake up. But for the chokidars, that's when they go to sleep, because they've been up all night. So, you know, we'll come to the temple and they're just washing their face. You know, it's a very difficult time when you've been up all night and you know you only have another hour and a half to go. It's usually when the guards fall asleep. So all of a sudden, Yadunandan Acharya came during this time, 96 minutes before sunrise. And he said to Raghunath Das, he said, the Brahmin who was doing the puja has left his service. It's not just that we have problems with devotees running away and not wanting to do their service. Even Yadunandan Acharya, he had trouble with his pujari. So he said, I want you to please go to his house. Tell him he has to come and do his service because I don't have any other Brahmin to replace him. So Raghunath Das, he saw the situation. The guards had fallen asleep. His guru was there, who was fully trusted by the family. His guru was saying, come with me to the Brahmin's house. He said, yes, yes, I'll come with you immediately. So he leaves the house with his guru, Yadunandan Acharya. And while they're on the path to the Brahmin's house, Raghunath Das says to him, you don't have to trouble yourself to go to the Brahmin's house. You can go home, and I will go speak to him. You rest assured, don't worry. I'll make sure that he comes to his service. Now, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's no sloka that says that Raghunath Das went to the Brahmin's house. In other places, it says that he went and convinced the Brahmin and told him to come with him. But we have Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's not mentioned there anywhere. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anti Lila chapter 6, that as soon as Yadavacharya left, Raghunath Das ran, not on the normal path. He ran east. Now we know that Puri is south. He didn't go south because he knew he would get caught. He ran east, and he ran for 30 kilometers without stopping. And then he went into the jungles. And in the jungles, you'll find scattered little villages where the tribal people live. And that night, he slept in a goshala, you know, someone who took care of the cows. The gwala saw that he hadn't eaten. He gave him some milk. And then the next day, he started south through the jungle so no one could find him. It took him 12 days to get to Jagannath Puri. Within those 12 days, he only got prasadam for 3 days. Sometimes fried grains, sometimes a little milk, most of the time nothing. When he reached Jagannath Puri, he came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, dirty, ragged. He hadn't stopped, he had nothing, just he wanted to reach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu embraced him and told him to go bathe in the ocean, go see Jagannath. Then he gave him instructions. He put him under the care of Swarup Damodar. And Raghunath Das and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were almost the same age. But Raghunath Das would never speak to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Instead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put him under the care of Swarup Damodar. And we have to remember, all of the pastimes that are going on in Goloka Vrindavan are simultaneously going on in Gaura Lila. It's not that you go here or you go there. It's nothing like that. Everything is simultaneous. So Swarup Damodar, as Lalita, one of her assistants is Rati Manjari. So Rati Manjari is Raghunath Das in his Krishna Lila Swarup. So he was put under the care of Lalita Devi, who is exactly what's going on in this spiritual world. And he exhibited such renunciation that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu expressed pleasure. At first, he would only stand on the staircase. Oh, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because this is drawing into the slokas that we read today, He explained to Raghunath Das that family life is just like a pit. It's called Vishtagartha. It's a pit where people go to pass stool. They pass the stool into the pit. And inside of the pit, where all the stool is, there are worms. And the worms live in that stool. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that dark well of materialistic life. We're not talking about grihastha life. We're talking about grihamedi life. So here we have this description in this verse, how the little fishes and the creatures in the water, they have so many family members, but due to the intense heat of the autumn sun, the water is drying up, and they're feeling the heat, and the family members, they're suffering very much. And the water, as it dries up, they become exposed onto the dry land. And then, of course, the birds are waiting there to capture them. And they all die, ultimately, because the water all dries up in the autumn season. So there have been many, even by the materialists, they write books like this. I remember the first time I went to Mayapur, I met a devotee. He had just recently got initiated. You know, he spoke a little English. I said, "Where do you come from?" "I come from Sundarban." And he said, "I come from a family of 19 children." I said, 19? How can you maintain 19 children in Sundarban? He said, "But I was lucky because I was the second son, so I had a name." So imagine every day, two or three times a day, trying to feed 19 children. I mean, how much rice can you grow? So there were many books like that written about India, and as Prabhupada in this light of the Bhagavat, because the Asian countries, they're all dependent on rice. Everyone eats rice in the Asian countries, all the way to Japan and China, starting in India. They're all dependent on rice. So the first book I ever read about India was a book called Nectar in a Sieve. And it was exactly about a family like this. They started out, they had their little plot, they didn't own it. They would grow rice, but then more kids, more kids, more kids. There just wasn't enough. And then the kids have kids, and they don't own the land, so what do they do with the... And then the fighting starts, and it's just... Death is just waiting, because they have no other higher purpose in life other than eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And this is the distress of the materialists, because they don't know about Krishna consciousness, and therefore they suffer miserably with their family members, and the family members increase. And because the leaders, they have no understanding of Krishna consciousness either, rather than giving them the foresight of how to live a Krishna conscious life and abstain from sense gratification, they teach them family planning. Kill the children before they're born, and then you don't have to feed them. So abortion, we to ham do, hamare do, that's the big mantra of India. And then in China, they went further. They're only allowed to have one child. So, I mean, because of exactly what's being said in these two verses. So Raghunath Das, by the trick of the Supreme Lord and by the mercy of the Supreme Lord and his devotees, he got out. And at this point, no time, but we can hear about Raghunath Das Goswami and how he became the most renowned of all of the six Goswamis and came here to Vrindavan, and his samadhi is at Radhakund. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Yes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Next class. As we heard in the past time, the devotees were sharing prasad with each other. So if we have a very good friend, equal in devotion, so can we share?
No, it wasn't the devotees. It was Nityananda Prabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So no devotees?
No. When the devotees first came to India, Prabhupada gave us two rules. The first rule was, you have to sit on your left hand, because the Westerners didn't know the difference between their left hand and right hand, so they would eat, you know, they'd pick up the chapati and eat like this. So the first rule was, you have to sit on your left hand, you can only eat with your right hand. And the second rule was, you can't take from your plate and put prasadam onto another person's plate. And he would watch to make sure that we were following these two rules. Because, you know, there were no temples, so we had to depend on wherever we went, the life members or the Vaishnavas, they would feed us, and they would feed us more than we could eat. So while somebody wasn't looking, we'd go, you know. Prabhupada didn't allow that. And he made it so strict that before you start eating, once you touch the plate, it's over. Before you start eating, whatever you think you can eat, then you can take off of your plate and put it on a separate plate. But whatever you have on your plate, you must finish everything. Sometimes I think that I have to give up all of my services and stand at the trash can at the prasadam hall and stop the devotees from throwing out the prasadam. I see devotees throwing out half plates of prasadam. And this is a great offense. This is the mercy of Sri Krishna. We're throwing it out. He's given it to us. So the secret is, before you start eating, you take off the prasadam and put it on a separate plate. And anything that's on your plate, you have to finish every single grain. Everybody hear that? I finally got to say it in public. Then I can go on distributing books. I don't have to stand at the trash can. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Just to continue this question, this is especially the grihastha life, especially when we are small kids. You know, the mothers, they try to feed the kid, and the remaining stuff, they don't know because it's prasad. They cannot even throw it away. They eat it.
Yes.
So is it okay?
Absolutely, you must.
Because in our sampradaya, it says that you should not eat the remnants of anyone, it's not good. But this is prasad, you know. Because this is prasad, how can we throw it?
For the mother, the child is the deity. It's maha maha prasad.
For father also,
can eat. Do you see your child as your deity? You should. Thank you. Any more questions? Yes, Prabhu. Yes.
Many times we enjoy some facilities in the garb of Krishna consciousness or the seizing of the services of Krishna.
Yes.
So how do we relate it? You know, how do we get that clear that it is
Krishna consciousness is the topmost sense gratification. There's nothing wrong with enjoying Krishna consciousness. Our whole life is enjoying, chanting, dancing, feasting. We're going to go for a feast right now. Topmost enjoyment when you become a devotee. Who enjoys as much as the devotees? So everyone should become a devotee and enjoy to the topmost level. But see, everyone has a different concept of enjoyment. For Raghunath Das Goswami, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found out that Raghunath Das was taking the rotten that even the cows wouldn't eat because the smell was so bad, washing it and eating that, first Rup Damodar took some, then he went and told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forcibly ate some. So there are different aspects of enjoyment. According to our Boga and Tyag parameters. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.